Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," Matthew 6 and verse 13. Now it is easy to see why we need to pray such a prayer when we're in danger of temptation. Temptation is that bridge over which we cross to sin. Inasmuch as all of the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, temptation cannot be taken lightly. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 warns, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." From whence comes temptation? James wrote in the first chapter, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death." Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5 that Satan is the one who tempts. By appealing to the baser nature of man and his weaknesses, Satan leads man to sin, and therefore to ruin. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world," 1 John 2 and verse 16. Satan uses three avenues to tempt us. He used these same three avenues to tempt Eve. He called her attention to the fruit and suggested it was good to eat. This appealed to the flesh. He pointed how it looked so good, and this was an appeal to the lust of the eye. He told her how it would make her as a god, and this was appeal to her pride. Basically, these are the avenues that Satan used in his attempt to get Jesus to sin. He appealed to the flesh by suggesting he turn the stones to bread. He used the appeal of the eye by taking him to see the whole world and offering it to him. He appealed to pride by taking him atop of the temple and telling him if he would cast himself down, the angels would not allow his foot to be dashed against a stone. Friend, these are the ways that Satan attempts to get you and get me to sin. If you will take time to consider each temptation you face, you will see that each one of them can be placed in one of these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. Now, the next statement I'm going to make may seem a bit bewildering to you. But temptation can be a curse. Of course, we understand that. But it also can be a blessing. It is intended to be a curse. If we yield to temptation and sin, it is a curse. But if we take advantage of the deliverance from temptation, we can grow stronger in spite of temptation because we resisted temptation. James 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." You see, dear friend, God will provide a way of escape from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Now, many times our troubles stem from our unwillingness to go the way of escape that God has provided. We seek some other way. But now we want to take a brief look at some of the ways God has provided that we, like many others who've gone before us, have successfully battled temptation. Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Dear listening friend, a knowledge of God's word is a great preventive to sin, as well as information regarding its cure. When Christ was tempted of Satan, he quoted from the scriptures repeatedly to put Satan to flight. When one knows what is right, he can more easily detect the wrong and avoid it. For this reason, as well as others, we must become thoroughly informed in the Word of God. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." When we are alert, when we are aware of the devil's ways, we will not be so likely to fall victim. It is significant to me that men of God in ages past, when tempted, resorted to prayer. When Nehemiah was tried while building the walls of Jerusalem and pressures came from various quarters to get him to quit, he went to God in prayer. When Daniel was commanded to discontinue his prayer, as had been his custom, the very thing that he did was to be at his window facing Jerusalem and praying. Paul and Silas in prison, there because of the preaching of the gospel, lifted up their voices in singing and in prayer. So it is in so many instances through the centuries. Taking advantage of the avenue that God has provided, we're able to withstand the temptations of Satan. Many times, temptation can be drained of its power because we've already made up our minds we will not sin against God and our fellow man. James wrote, recorded in James 4 and verse 7, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When Daniel was confronted with the decision to either eat that which had been set before him, and that would have defiled him, or stand firm and be obedient to God, Daniel 1 and verse 8 tells us, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." We can fight the onslaughts of the devil if we have control over our own determination. We need to make up our minds. We will not fall victim to the wiles of the devil. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, Paul said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry." And after Paul had listed a number of ungodly matters, he told Timothy, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Again, he told Timothy to flee youthful lust. Often the best way to deal with temptation is to put distance between you and the opportunity to sin. Let us remember that Joseph did that when he was enticed by the wife of Potiphar to commit adultery. He fled from the house. While we may be able to withstand temptation in other ways, the first few times it is presented to us, with continued bombardment against us, we could be overcome. Therefore, do not remain where you are tempted. How foolish it is for a man with weakness for alcohol, for instance, to be always hanging around where it is served. Situations that constantly provoke us to lose our temper. We need to control our temper, but those situations that provoke us to lose it, we should try to avoid those kind of things. Flee those situations wherein we are tempted. But again, in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now this was given as one of the reasons for putting on the armor of God, that weaponry in our spiritual warfare that God has provided for us. It enables us to successfully fight the good fight of faith. Possibly one of the reasons we're so vulnerable to temptation is because we have not applied ourselves sufficiently to acquire those good qualities that teach us to develop, not taking advantage we ought of the provisions that God has already given. Ways of escape from temptations. And you cannot clean out a coal bin and expect to remain spotless. Nor can we expect to place ourselves among the enemies of the cross, those who don't care for the moral standards of God, those who reject His mercy, and still live the kind of life that God approves. We influence others, but they also influence us. And so long as our influence for the right is predominant, then we should exercise it. But when the influence to do evil is running against us, we do well to seek other friends and other associates. Get out of the wrong crowd. Many people sin under the pressure of their peers. If they had not been in the wrong company, they would have been better able to say no to evil and yes to what is right. 1 Corinthians 15:33 advises, evil companions corrupt good morals. It is, as the song suggests, make friends of God's people. How much we need to emphasize to ourselves and to our young to seek their partner in marriage from among those who are in the Lord. Did not Paul show the inconsistency of trying to harmonize with evil in 2 Corinthians 6? Did not the psalmist write, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful? And in Romans 12 and verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We will be much stronger in opposing the enticements to do evil if we're busy trying to fill our lives with what is good. We will not live in a vacuum, and our minds shall not stay in neutral. We will either be doing as we ought, or doing as we ought not. Even idling around is a wasteful exercise. The old adage says an idle mind is the devil's workshop. But if we have our lives geared for good things, being busy about the Father's business, so pressed in doing the will of God, then we will not have time nor the energy or the resources to be expended in falling before the temptations of Satan that Satan will place before us. Now, where do these thoughts lead us? Facing a few realities, we see that we are beset with temptation, and that we cannot always avoid. And while we pray that we not be led into temptation, sometimes we meet it head on in spite of all that we can do. But there are ways to defeat it. God has provided these ways, yes, several ways of escape, that we may be able to be the victor rather than the victim of temptation. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.